So embarrassing. So embarrassing. But I do want to celebrate one good thing that happened this weekend. If you guys didn't know it, Matt Sweezy's birthday was yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Oh, look, we got the lights going and everything. Lights going and everything. Matt Sweezy, how old are you?
Do we have to tell them?
Yes, we do have to tell them. We do have to. I like to do, we like to play a little game. High or lower? Is he older than 30 or lower than 30? Higher. Wow.
There's some big lowers this service.
Ow. Everyone say, I heard everyone say older. Ouch. So how old are you?
What was the score of the UK football game last night? There you go.
There he is.
31 and nothing. There we go.
It's
31.
Like UK knew. It's like the University of Kentucky football team knew.
They did. It was a birthday gift.
It was a birthday gift. I'm glad that you're a UK fan. We can be friends then. We can be friends.
Amen.
We can be friends. Happy birthday.
Thank
Seriously.
You. I'm going to go now.
You can go.
Cool.
You can go. Speaking of football and the goodness of God, one good thing that I got to witness this weekend is, I've talked about it before, my son a year ago tore his ACL at a football game. They ended up losing that football game. And exactly a year later, I got to watch him play in that football game against the exact same team. In this time, they won. It was an amazing experience to see how good God can be over a year-long process, because sometimes it does take a while. And we hear that all the time, God is good and he's running after us. But if I'm going to be brutally honest, sometimes I always don't believe that. Because sometimes it's easier to believe the negative. Sometimes it's easier for me to believe all the negative things about myself, instead of truly believing that God is good and that he's running after me. There are lies that I believe about myself that are preventing me from receiving the living water of Jesus. Lies that I continue to go to, because we can be our own worst critic, right? It reminds me a lot of a story that we've been talking about in this series. We've been in the series called Thirsty, and one of the stories that we have read has been about the Samaritan woman at a well. And I'm going to read it right now. It's in John 4. And it says, when the Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, will you give me a drink? His disciples had gone to town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, you are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. I'm going to stop right there, because there are some things that are happening right now. One, the Samaritan woman, she has been married 5 times. In some research that I've done, she's probably living with a man right now. So she probably thinks a lot of self-lies. She's being critical of herself. And especially with women and men, Jewish and Samaritan people were not supposed to associate, especially in this time, men and women. So you can only imagine what she's going through when this Jewish man comes to sit next to her and talks to her. And the judgment she might feel about her past, and if she should even be talking to him. So let's continue. And Jesus answered her, if you knew the gift of God and who it asked for you a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Sir, the woman said, you have nothing to draw, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? She's doubting him. She's like, you want water, but you have nothing to draw the water with. How? I don't believe you. Because we've all experienced that doubt, right? We've all been there. We don't understand it, but we know this is not right. This is not doubt. This is doubt for us. And it continues, but Jesus answered, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in a spring of water welling up with eternal life. The story is just not a story about a woman who doesn't feel like she's qualified. This is a woman, I believe, that we can all relate to. It's a story about you and me. It's a story about feeling the least of these. And I don't know about you. Maybe you haven't been married 5 times. But I bet you've experienced doubt in your life, fear, and even judgment. I know I have. And in those times in my life, the way that that comes out is through self-deprecation. The way fear and judgment and doubt comes out is if I self-loathe myself. And maybe if I can self-deprecate enough and make you laugh about the idiotic things that I've done in my life, maybe I can cover up the true reasons that I self-loathe. Because I said there are three big lies that I believe about myself, three big lies that are preventing me from receiving the living water of Jesus. Three lies that I continue to go to this empty well to instead of turning to God. And the first lie I believe about myself is I'm unintelligent. And I can date this all the way back to elementary school. Have you ever had a time in your life that has been so pivotal, a memory that's been so ingrained that it has actually caused you to think that's about yourself and believe it to be true? So that's happened to me. It happened in sixth grade. In sixth grade, I was sitting in my class and I was taken out of my sixth grade class and I had to meet with a psychiatrist. I don't really remember what he was asking me, the questions that we were talking about, but what I do vividly remember is sitting there in a chair across from him, and while he was asking me questions, I was playing with blocks. I remember thinking, I'm in sixth grade. Why am I playing with blocks? Is there something wrong with me? And from that conversation, I ended up having to meet with a tutor every single day after school. But no one told me what was going on. In the absence of knowledge, I created my own narrative. I filled in the blank space. And that blank space was, oh, I must not be smart. And I was able to continue to fill that narrative growing up. I have three older siblings. They're all very smart. They all got straight A's. I got B's and C's and maybe a D or two. And so I was able to be like, oh, it's because I'm not smart. My siblings got a 32 or higher on their ACT. I got a 19. Oh, it's because I'm not smart. And it wasn't until college when a professor said to me, hey, I think you should go take a test. I think you should go to the student center and take a test. I think you have a learning disability. And at first I was like, oh, why would you say that to me? But I ended up going, and I found out that I'm mildly dyslexic. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it makes so much sense now. So if you've ever received a text from me or an email from me, and it makes zero sense, and I know some of you have, this is why. In my brain, the words are 100% in that text message or in that email. And I don't realize it until you send something back to me and saying, what did you say? Now, I've been married for 22 years with my husband. He is used to my mild form of dyslexia. He actually has created, he calls them the KCEs. I've unintentionally have created my own language in my household. So if you need to decipher, just talk to him. He can tell you what I'm trying to say. But the lie was, I'm not smart. The truth of the matter is what God says. And God says, you don't have to believe this because I give you wisdom. I'm your truth. This is a lie. And I love what it says in James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. All you have to do is go to the living water. Ask God for the wisdom. He wants to give it to you. He doesn't want you to believe this lie. He wants you to believe the truth. The truth is, you are wise. The second lie I believed about myself was I'm unqualified. So my very first job out of college, I worked for the Broadway series. I was a ticketing manager, which meant I just sold people tickets or subscriptions. And we were bringing in a brand new show. And the show was called Dora the Explorer, live on stage. like my jazz hands. So parents and kids were excited. Okay, maybe not parents, but kids were definitely very excited to see Dora the Explorer live on stage. And I had a mom who called and asked me to help her exchange her tickets for a new date because she couldn't attend her date anymore. So great. So I exchanged her tickets over the phone, no big deal, except for she showed up to the original date. And guess who had to kick out the mom and the crying daughter? Me. I had to kick her out. But the good news is I told her, don't worry, you still have tickets just on the day you exchanged them to, not your original date. I thought everything was resolved. Little did I know that she called the news, and the news showed up to the theater. And my coworker said to me, you're a broadcasting major. You've got this. You know exactly what happened. What I should have said was she had tickets. She exchanged them for a new date, but showed up on the original date, and it's okay because she still has tickets. What I ended up saying was, well, she had section 100 row A, seats 1 and 2, and then we tried to exchange them for a different day, and then we were trying row B, but she really wanted row A, and then we got to row D, and we ended up on this date. Have you ever had that moment in your life where you're word vomiting, and you know to stop, and in your brain you're going, oh my gosh, please stop, please shut up, but you can't, you just keep word vomiting? That happened to me, and the news blasted me. I think the direct quote was, that sounded more like ABC soup than a resolution. Let's take a look at the story. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. I bet you all were like, is it really? Is she really going? No. Don't Google it because it happened a long time ago. Many people have tried to find it. But when that story happened, the immediate feeling I had, the immediate thought I had was, oh, I'm unqualified. And I could feel myself getting smaller and shrinking. And I made a decision, like right then and there, oh, I'm never going to put myself out there again. I'm not going to try new things. I'm going to hide in this corner and pretend no one sees me. The lie was I was unqualified. The lie preventing me from the living water of Jesus was I'm qualified. But that's not the truth. The truth is I don't have to be qualified because Jesus helps me be qualified. And I love how he says it in 2 Corinthians, and it's from the Apostle Paul. And he said, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. Therefore, I will boast all more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. I absolutely love that. Because he's saying, it doesn't matter weaknesses, because if you follow me, if you take my living water, if you believe in me, you don't need to be qualified because I will do it for you. There's this quote that I love saying. I actually have no idea who created it, but it says, God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Because there is doubt even coming up here, but God reminds me, it doesn't matter because I am using you. I called you. You don't have to worry about the lie of being unqualified because you have to use me. Lean into me. And all of those lies have built up into probably my biggest lie that I believe about myself. And that is, I'm unworthy. And not just unworthy at my job, but unworthy as a wife, as a mom, as a friend. Because it's easier to believe those lies. It's easier to go to that well, that empty well, than to believe the truth of what God says. And that's why I love the story of the woman at the well. Because Jesus knows everything about her. He knows all of her lies that she believes about herself. He knows her past. And he even calls it out. Because he asks her, he says, where is your husband? Go get your husband. And she's like, I do not have a husband. And he's like, that's right, you don't. You had five. And guess what? I still call you. I still love you. I know your past, and it doesn't matter because I still am running after you. God knows my past. He knows the lies I have about myself. And guess what? He still calls me. The doubt I have walking up on his stage, he says, no, I called you to be here right now. And it's this beautiful moment that I had this year where God was able to really squash all of those lies. I was asked to speak at a baccalaureate for some high school graduates. And after I got done speaking, the first person who came up to me was my tutor from sixth grade. She had a grandson that was graduating, and she grabbed me on the shoulders, and she said, Casey, I am so proud of you. You are brilliant. I knew you would do big things. In one moment, God answered all of the questions and all of the doubts, and he turned them around and says, that's not true. You're not unqualified. You're not unintelligent. You're not unworthy. In fact, you're the exact opposite. You are smart. You are called. And you are more than worthy. So as I've been sitting up here talking, I know that some of us, there's some lies that we believe about ourselves. There's our lies that have prevented us from receiving the living water of Jesus. And so I want to take a moment, and I want us to call out those lies. But we don't have to say it out loud, I promise. We're going to do it on the bottom of this cup. So I want you to grab your cup at this time. Pull out your Sharpie. And I want you to think about, what are the lies that you believe about yourself? What are the lies that are preventing you from believing that God is for you, that God loves you, that God is running after you? What are the lies that are preventing you from receiving the living water, from receiving Jesus' love? So for me, it's unintelligent, unqualified, and unworthy. Maybe for you, it's shame or guilt. Maybe it's pride. Pride that I don't need Jesus. I'm good on my own. But there's good news. There's good news that there's a God who loves us, who's running after us, and he knows it. He knows your lies. He knows all of them. He knows your past, he knows your baggage, and he's still calling you, and he's still running after you. I love in the Good Samaritan how it kind of continues when she says in John 4:28 and moving forward, then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to town and said to the people, come and see who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah? She ran. She was one of the first evangelists. He knew everything about her, and he still called her. He knows everything about you, and he still calls you. And what I love about this representation of this well, of this empty well, is if you'll notice, it is empty. It is dry. And when we believe the lies about ourselves, that's how we feel. We feel empty and dry. It doesn't give us the opportunity to see the truth of who we are. And we're going to have that opportunity to be refreshed, not just physically, but also spiritually. We're going to have the opportunity to come up front and receive the living water of Jesus, the living water that he gets to tell you who you are and who he says you are is perfectly said in 1 John 3:1, when it says, see how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children, and that's what we are. So whatever your lie is, whether it be shame, pride, guilt, being unintelligent, whatever it is, there is a truth of who we are that's the exact opposite of it, and it's we are God's children, and you are loved, and you are strong, and you are bold, and you are courageous, and you are smart, and above all, you are absolutely worthy of his love. We're getting ready to sing a song called Gratitude, and I love this song because it talks about there's nothing that I can give other than my gratitude, other than an alleluia. And it so represents the Samaritan woman so well because she had nothing to give. Nothing. But God used her. God called her. And she went out and she helped transform a whole entire group of people by spreading the word. And so during this song, you're going to have an opportunity to come up and receive the living water of Jesus. You're going to have an opportunity to drown out these lies with the living water of Jesus. To drown out every single lie and believe exactly who you are. There is a God who loves you no matter what. There is a God who knows your past, who knows your history, and he loves you, and he's still running after you. And once you receive your living water, I want you to go back to your seat. Because I want us to thank this God, to thank a God that knows everything about me, and despite it, he still loves me. So come up now and receive the living water of Jesus.